Joining us now is the voice of the Calgary Flames, Peter Marr. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Rob.
You, like I, kind of got woken up a little bit today.
I got up real early and decided I'd do some work and get prepared for some of the games that are coming up ahead. And then decided, well, I'll go back and have a little rest here at about 9:15-ish or so. And, of course, now all this stuff breaks loose and certainly a blockbuster deal with no doubt. And certainly it's going to shock the folks on the Flames and shock the folks in the city. And at the same time, it'll probably shock a few people in Toronto.
Your reaction?
Well, as I look at it, the team definitely needed a shakeup. And Dion Phaneuf was the guy that was going to get you the best possible return. Anybody else that was, a core player on this team wouldn't have gotten you the return that Dion is getting. He's a young defenseman, not even close to his prime yet. And obviously Toronto wanted him. Other teams, I'm sure, wanted him. And down the road, the Flames may look back and say, gee, Dion, I think he's going to blossom into one of the best defensemen in the league. But anyway, that's here near there. You have to do something now because this team really wasn't showing any signs of going to be much more than a team challenging for a playoff spot, which isn't what the people of the city want. So a whole lot of new faces coming into the dressing room to shake things up. And, time will tell how it all turns out. Ollie, of course, is another young defenseman that the Flames are moving. But you have to move those sort of things to get the type of players that they've got here in return. I think Ian White is a pretty decent defenseman for the Flames. It should be able to fit in. He won't replace Dion Phaneuf, but he should be able to fit in among the top six in the group. I'll always like Jamal Mayers as a good hard-nosed winger. I think he'll be a real type of player that that Brent Sutter is going to like. He'll play the style that Brent wants to play. Stajan is a fellow that has a lot of upside potential. He's had a reasonably good career to this point, playing with a Toronto team that never has been overly powerful, let's say, or have a whole lot of players around him that were top-rate players. So he comes in here. He'll be likely put on the number one line right off the bat to play with Jerome. And we'll see where it goes from there. And Nick Hagman is a guy that seems to be very quietly puts up big numbers. He's got 20 goals already this year with the Maple Leafs, so he can come in and help the offense with this Flame team as well staging. So I think the Flames got better from an offensive side of things. When you look at the fact that other than last night, lately they haven't been able to score very many goals, and these guys I think will spruce up the line combinations the team has, where they're going to give them at least a couple of pretty solid scoring lines to go with a couple of pretty solid scoring forwards. Defensive wise, obviously with Phaneuf gone, it's going to be a little bit weaker, but the emergence of Mark Giordano, I think, is a big reason why Daryl Sutter elected to make this trade. Giordano may have been, or in my view, has been, the best defenseman on the team this year and is continuing to just grow in leaps and bounds. So the defense will take a bit of a hit with this, but not too much. And White is going to be a guy, I think, that can move in and play among the top six.
Pete, in many ways, this what happened today kind of mimicked what we were talking about yesterday with the Edmonton Oilers. And the Oilers come in struggling, Calgary struggling, but the struggles were different. Edmonton was building towards the future. The pressure's on the Calgary Flames for now. This trade was the same thing. The Maple Leafs aren't going anywhere. That's about the future. This is really a short-term fix, isn't it? This is risky. This is a gamble. You could probably keep these guys if they work out, but three of them are free agents. Ian White's restricted. Mayers and Stajan are unrestricted. You've got Hagman for a couple more years at a pretty nice cap hit, but there's a risk involved here.
Yeah, when you make a deal like this, you're making it a little bit for the future, but mostly you're making it for right now. And as you say, the expectation for this Flame team coming into the year was exceedingly high, and I think justifiably so. When you look at the roster that have been put together, perhaps not as much scoring as you would like to have a team that could be a Stanley Cup contender, but certainly the defense right up there among the best in the league. I think a lot of us thought it was the best of the league going in. And, of course, with Kiprusoff and the Nets, a top-rate goaltender, the fans have not been satisfied here, nor has anybody around the Flame organization with the fact that the last 4 years this team has gotten to the playoffs but has been beaten out in the first round. And so they need to have some success this year to, in fact, they need to have a fair amount of success, I think, to satisfy the fan base with this team. Certainly, from what I can gather, based on the comments I'm hearing and on Pat's phone-in show, the Jan Phaneuf's departure will be greeted with a whole bunch of cheers by fandom here in Calgary. I'm not greeting it with the same degree of excitement. I just think that he's a guy that is only 24 years old and has a tremendous, tremendous upside. But you want to get something in return, he's the guy you have to trade.
Pete, we've been talking about it, for, you know, throughout this entire nine-game stretch that, you know, the big picture and the little picture. The little picture was always about winning the next game and what he had to do with the you know, Brent Sutter dealing with the stuff that was in front of him. The big picture, though, was Daryl Sutter and where he would go with this. And I know that, you know, for the last couple of years, you watched Daryl Sutter, Jim Playfair, Mike Keenan, now Brent Sutter. Guys getting an opportunity to come in, and then periphery players. We saw Camilleri come and go, Bertuzzi, Huselius. We've seen, you know, guys come in this year, Jay Bouwmeester. The only constant was the core. This does fundamentally, for the first time under Daryl Sutter, affect the core, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. That's the, you know, that's the first time that the main body of this team, which has been there for, you know, the last bunch of years, has been affected by a trade. When they brought in Olli Jokinen last year, it was, you know, it was the trade of a couple of players that were not part of the core. I think Matthew Lombardi, at one point, people thought might be a guy that could be a core player with the team, but it never did develop. So, yes, this is the first time that they've gone right to the core of the situation. And as I've said a few times through the course of this year, the coach is not going anywhere. They've made so many coaching changes over the last bunch of years that it's time that the core group and this team has to step forward and show that they're capable of being a team that can achieve up to its maximum. And Brent Sutter is, I'm sure, has gone pretty near crazy trying to get this team to play the way he wants them to play. You know, you look back in November, I thought at that point there wasn't a team in the league, the Flames, that didn't have a chance to beat at any time. And now, since then, you look at them and, gee, you wonder if you can beat anybody in the league. So they definitely had to do something to get things shaken up a little bit within the camp. And certainly bringing in as many new faces as they are and trading one of the core players is certain to do that. It's certainly waking up the players that, if they weren't woken up already, that management and the coaching staff are in control here, and that they're not going to stand for any more play that is substandard, if you will. And I believe that unless things do perk up, we're going to be more players at that core level that are going to be moving on. Not right away. I don't think any core players will be gone now before the trade deadline. But if the season does not turn out to be a successful one, then we could see some more movement among players within that core.
Peter Maher, the voice of the Calgary Flames, the voice of Team Canada, the upcoming Winter Olympics, joining us here this afternoon on the Fan 960, fan960.com. Boom.
Good morning, Peter. Good to hear you. I got to wonder, as tough a morning as this is for Dion Phaneuf, this had to have been an extremely difficult deal for Daryl Sutter to make, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I think an extremely difficult move for Daryl to make, because he really, really liked Dion. He was the guy that drafted him. He was the guy that nurtured him in the early going of his time with the Flames. Brent is another guy who's a big fan. Brent Sutter, another guy that's a big fan of Dion. So he is another guy that's going to be taken really hard by the fact that Dion has moved on. But I think in realization, as we mentioned earlier there, if the Flames were going to get something in return that was going to be of a major impact for them, they had to give up one of those core players, and Dion was the most logical one. He's the guy that could get you the best return. He doesn't have a no-trade clause in his contract, so he moves on. Whether or not his posture on this is going to be one of pleasure or not remains to be seen. I'm sure we will never know outwardly, because knowing Dion, I'm sure he'll make his public comments to be that he's glad to be in Toronto, et cetera, et cetera. And also the fact that he was getting such a rough treatment from the fans here, I think that was really playing on him. Here you are playing with your hometown team and constantly being booed, being yelled at, and all of this sort of things, and downgraded. That you know, these guys make a lot of money, but they're also human. And I think hearing that type of stuff at home on a constant basis was wearing on him a bit. And also, you know, you don't mind taking that on the road. You know, that's part of the game. But when it happens at home, it's a little bit tougher to handle. So I'm sure he'll welcome the fresh start where he's moved on to, and we'll go from there.
What kind of a deal is this, Peter? Because as much as it's about winning now, and you went 9 games winless and you want to make a shakeup, getting rid of, and again, you said this guy was going to bring you back the most in a trade. This was your number one bargaining chip. I mean, from here on out, you have other players that no doubt you could make moves. But this is a big, big deal to make based on just this season. Do you anticipate that there, you know, is there more to come? Do you think he's done? Or is this a deal? Okay, well, we had to make a change. Dion gets us the most. We do the deal.
I think that if he makes any more deals, they're going to be very, very minor deals. He's made a big move here with a lot of new players coming into the dressing room. And when you bring in as many as 4 players into a new team, it creates a situation where it takes some time for these players to blend in. There have been trades made this late in the season that have involved a lot of players that have not worked out for the team because it simply didn't allow these players enough time to mesh in. In this case, I think he made it at the right time, happening before the Olympic break. I think if this deal would have happened after the Olympic break, we would more likely have a situation where they might not be able to blend in time to help this team have success. But you look at it this way, there's about 6 or 7 or 8 games left before the Olympics. Then there'll be a bit of a break there for the Olympics for the players that aren't going. But then they'll be getting back together again a few days before the return of the NHL action. So that time will allow them another opportunity to mesh in with their players during practices, where if you make any deal after the Olympics, you're not going to have that time. The games are just going to come and come and come. So in that respect, I think Darryl made a really good, timely move to make it. But to make any more major, any more bigger change in that dressing room right now might have a negative effect, at least for the balance of the year. And that is something, of course, you're looking at right now. You want this deal is being made basically for now to have this team have success. So anything now would be, I think, just a little bit of tinkering with the lineup.
Peter Marr, voice of the Calgary Flames, joining us this afternoon on the Fan 960, fan960.com. If you are just tuning in, the Calgary Flames and the Toronto Maple Leafs have made a blockbuster deal. As Dion Phaneuf, Keith Ollie, and Fred Schustrom on their way to Toronto, Nicholas Hagman, Jamal Mayers, Matt Stage, and Ian White on their way back to Calgary. We are hoping to talk to a couple of the players on their way back here this afternoon, if we can arrange it. Pete, a couple things. One, help me out with the math here. If you bring in 3 forwards and you have 3 injured forwards, which you assume are coming off the injured reserve at some point, you have 2 guys up 10 potentially in Lundmark and Backlund that can go back to Abbotsford. It still seems to me like somebody has to go.
Well, I guess it depends on how long these injured players are going to be out.
Right.
I'm kind of getting word it's going to be not tomorrow, and these guys are coming back, and maybe okay. A little further down the road. So you may be able to buy a little bit of time here just to see where these guys mesh in and how the guys you've called up have done. It's my belief that Backstrom Backlund will eventually be going back to Abbotsford. I think once you know, he'll play a few games here. He's made a pretty good impact so far. I don't suspect that that's going to continue, and they'll have him go back to Abbotsford, I think. And when he gets back there, he'll get even better because he had a taste of playing a bunch of games in the NHL, gained some confidence by being able to play here, and I think his progress will be advanced by going back there. So I think that's one move that we can look for. And Lundmark is a guy who's been going back and forth from the minors all along, so that if he can continue to contribute as he has over the last while, then he'll stay. If not, then he could find himself back in the AHL again. So I think right now the decision-making is going to be a little further down the road.
We just had Eric Dehatchuk on a couple of moments ago, Pete, and then again, when we brought you on, talked about the historical concept of all of this. Does this at all feel, look, sound, taste, smell like the Doug Gilmore deal?
Which Doug Gilmore deal? The one that brought him here or the one that let him go?
The one that let him go.
No, it's not even close to that kind of deal. I remember when that deal was made, you know, the back of my mind right away said this is not a very good not a very good deal for the Flames. Not only did Doug Gilmore go, they also traded a couple of very good defensemen in Rick Natchez and Jamie McCowan. So the guys coming back the other way certainly didn't match up. But in this particular deal, while there's no player coming from Toronto that's in the star power of Dion Phaneuf, they have picked up some, you know, four pretty good players. And White, I think, has a pretty good upside. And, of course, it all depends on how much longer you're going to be able to keep Stajan with your team, as well as Jamal Mayers. You've got Hagman under contract for a while, but I would suspect that if Hagman and Stajan turn out over the last part of this season as being pretty good players that Daryl Sutter likes, and I think you'll see him make a move to try and retain them and get them newer contracts. So I think it all is going to be timing, but no, I don't think it has anywhere close to that kind of deal that was made in 1990-91. I'm trying to think back of deals that the Flames have made this stage of the season. I look back to the deal that they made for Joey Mullen in the 1985-86 season, and later on would get John Tinelli. This one, doesn't match up either when you think of it, because you look at Mullen, he was a high-scoring forward at that time, and then those deals, the Flames were getting the best player. In this particular case, they're not getting the best player, although they're getting some depth for the team. And another deal that the Flames made at the deadline was bringing Brian McClelland in back in 89 in exchange for Perry Barazan, and that worked out pretty good, although our poor friend Perry missed out on winning a Stanley Cup, but he'd asked to be traded, and he was, and McClelland was a key man when the Flames marched on to the Cup. It seemed the further they went, the better he played. So those are ones that come to mind right quickly, that deals that the Flames made at or near the trade deadline in years where they had success.
Pete, finally, I guess, and I know you've touched on it, but I just kind of want to go back to this. We played Dion Phaneuf talking to the media. He was incredibly emotional. He was asked if he asked to be traded, and he denied it. You know what transpired earlier in the month. There was the bloggers and the rumors that Dion had asked to be out. At the time, Daryl Sutter said he wasn't going to move him. Now he moves him. There's obviously going to be a lot of people out there asking which way is up and which way is down on this. Do you have a read one way or the other what actually transpired here between the player and the club?
Well, I think in the case of Daryl, I think as you mentioned there with Boomer, he and Brent really liked Dion. So it must have been a hard pill for those two guys to swallow to come to the decision of moving Dion. On the other side of the coin, when you look at it from Dion's perspective, I don't think that he actually went in and asked to be traded. But I think he may have had enough of having people giving him a hard time in this city, and I don't think that was ever going to change unless the team won a Stanley Cup or something, and he happened to be the guy that was leading the way. To me, as long as Dion played here, he was going to be the whipping boy for the fans in the city, unfortunately. And another unfortunate thing is that the fans got a terribly poor read on Dion. A lot of people think that he's... He is a laid-back guy when it comes to his public speaking, etc., but he is not a laid-back guy when it comes to wanting to have success for his team and also for himself. He cares a whole lot about this hockey club and wanting to have success for the team. It hurt him a lot with this team as a Met first-round elimination the last bunch of years with a pretty good team. And I think a lot of people felt that he had a cavalier approach to things, and it really didn't matter one way or the other to him whether the team won or lost or whether he had success. That is completely wrong. This guy really, really took losses hard, and the fact that he didn't go to the Olympic team, although he didn't show it outwardly, I'm sure he took that hard, just as hard as last year when he didn't get a chance to go to the All-Star game after being selected the number two defenseman in the entire league the year before. So the fans got a real bad read on Dion, and I think down the road he's going to be very beneficial to the Maple Leafs with that attitude he has. He goes in there now, he'll be without question the leading guy back there on the defense, and it'll be a new start for him. And I know he liked in Calgary from the standpoint that he had a lot of friends here in the city, a lot of people that he liked, and a lot of people who have a better read on him than the fans do, that have been giving him such a hard time. And I think down the road, the fans are going to regret giving him such a hard time and having him leave here. I think that if he were not the whipping boy of the crowd here, he would probably still be a Calgary Flame.
I think back to a conversation I had with Perry Barazan, and we were talking about just that Al MacInnis, Mike Vernon, now Dion Phaneuf have all gone through the same thing, Pete. You get on the bad side of the fans, and I think this one's exasperated. I can't even say it Sunday morning.
Exacerbated.
Thank you. By the internet, the YouTube stuff, and all of that stuff. I think it moved it a lot further ahead. But it's not unique to Calgary. It's all of sports. The Flames have, or the Oilers have had those types of situations. Your beloved Yankees have had those types of situations. But he falls in with some pretty elite company when you think of MacInnis and Vernon.
Yeah, you're right. And those two guys were very solid players and key elements for the Flames winning a Stanley Cup. And both of those guys were misread as well in this city. A lot of people thought that Mike Vernon was just a party guy, and you know, he didn't really care about playing. He cared an awful lot about playing, as he would show throughout his career, playing on a couple of Stanley Cup winners and being a winner of a Conn Smythe Trophy as the most valuable player of the playoffs 1 year. And I think because his big problem, I thought, was that he grew up in Calgary, and sure, he liked to relax, and when he was a younger guy, and I think a lot of that carried on with him. In fact, you know, I heard stories that he was somewhere in a rehab situation, and I said to the guy, I said, well, if that's the case, I saw him at practice today, and this was when he was injured, and the guy said, well, his best friend said he was in rehab. And I said, well, think about what you just said. If it was truly his best friend, he wouldn't be telling stories like that if they were true, and I can tell you now they're not true. So those type of things get out there. The same thing has happened with Dion, and probably even more so, as you mentioned, because of the internet. And you know, his girlfriend Alicia Cuthbert is, of course, a movie star and a TV star in Hollywood, and I think that added to the circumstance as well. The fans, not perhaps a lot of them being jealous, and a lot of them feeling that. In his case, that getting a bad read on his character. Not from the standpoint that he shouldn't be with a Hollywood girl, but from the fact that if he's hanging out with her, he doesn't really care to be her player. But as I say, they got a terribly, terribly bad read on Dion Phaneuf, the fans in this town. This guy really, really cares and is a guy that I would call a winner.
Thanks, Pete. I appreciate this.
Okay, Rob.